In our second reading, Paul tells us to stop lying to one another. I take as a corollary to that, stop listening to lies, and so I did not watch either of the Republican or Democratic conventions. I can't watch them. I just can't watch people who lie to you, who cannot get done what they say and promise, and actually distort what the other person's done. So I just don't watch that. But it did strike me, here are these two candidates we have for President of the United States. It rained like crazy this week, and there's a guy who built an ark right down the road. Just saying. Things might be bad, right? But the rain that we had here, right here locally, which I think might be the heaviest in the Cincinnati area, you know, almost between 7 and 8 inches this week, a lot of people get flooded, things get ruined, and it always is a reminder whenever it floods and your basement fills up and all those memories and things you thought you needed to have now become soggy and moldy and you need to throw them out. It reminds us of this gospel. What are you storing up? What's in your basement? What's in your attic that you think you're attached to and you really don't need to be? So in your house, you have your basement, your attic, maybe your garage that's no longer a garage but a supplemental storage shed, right? And we have all this stuff. And what the Lord is saying in the gospel is we as human beings, because we're physical animals, we live in the world and we have all these instincts about gathering and making ourselves secure. Everything that we gather to ourselves really is towards security, to have something against that day when we are in need. And that's fine. But the Lord says, what you really need and where your true security will never be found in what you can physically store up. You will never find the comfort, the happiness, the joy in what you have, because what you have cannot satisfy the human heart, the human soul. The only thing that satisfies the heart, the soul, the mind, and brings peace is meaning, true meaning. Life has a meaning, life has a purpose. And we experience that most directly and most profoundly when we love, when we give love and are loved in return. And then we can stand against the world no matter what the flood of tides bring. As long as that meaning of being loved and loving in return is in our life, there is a deep-rooted meaning to our existence, and we live. Human beings live on meaning. You can have every treasure in the world, all the wealth that you want, and if you don't have that, you'll dissipate it all in all kinds of avenues and have nothing in the end. And yet if you have nothing in the world but the people that love you, you'll die a happy person. It struck me, this idea of meaning, when I was young. My older sister died in a car accident when she was 18, going on 19, and she just graduated from high school. I was just entering high school. And I remember standing in the field next to our house when we got the news, and it struck me right then that either life has meaning, and there is a God who undergirds that meaning, or there is no meaning. It's either one or the other. You can't have both. You can't have no God, and this just be a physical universe of which we are a dust speck, and then say at the same time it all means something. Our first reading, vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. Everything we try to do and build up on our own, Qoheleth says, it's vanity if there's no God that all your efforts are directed towards. And it struck me at that age that God doesn't force this upon us, but allows us to choose. Will there be meaning in my life because I believe, or will I struggle continually to try to anchor myself in this world and without God? You know, we live in a much different society, much different culture than even 200 years ago in terms of this idea of the existence of God and the meaning that God brings. With the Enlightenment, so in the 1600s, 1700s, the dawning of the Enlightenment, people started to think, if there is no God, what does meaning come from? And the German philosophers were forefront in this. So, for instance, the philosopher Hegel, the early 1800s, he says, really, no individual has meaning or significance. It's the state that's real. It's how well we organize. It's the political being that we give ourselves to. And the German nation imbibed this. It was another German, Schopenhauer, who said, actually, there is no meaning at all. There's no God. So the only real way to live is in defiance of the fates that have created you and, in a certain sense, cursed you to live this life. So you live your whole life shaking your fist at the heavens and saying, I will not serve. And that's the only way to be truly, authentically human. We're not fully animal, and we're not fully spirit. And Schopenhauer says, we're caught in the middle, and so we need to rage against the night. That's what we do as humans. Completely meaningless, though, in the end. These types of thoughts, including that of Marx, Karl Marx, we are an economic entity. You're simply a consumerist animal, and you drive forth the process of history. But you yourself have no significance, no meaning. These types of philosophies have penetrated our culture. They infect what we think and how we look at the world. If you have the right things, you'll be the right kind of person. If you drink this beer, you get both the car and the woman that comes with it, right? Just drink this beer, right? Take this pill, have these things, buy this house, and you will be satisfied. And the Lord says, you fool. So on this day, as we contemplate the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the fact that the Lord calls us into existence so that our hearts can be drawn to God, let us ask that we have a purity of intention, that we actually be drawn to those things that are truly good for us, love, mercy, charity, that we believe and are given a new gift of faith such that our own confidence in our purpose and meaning of our existence is rooted in God. And let us give thanks that the Lord comes to meet us with this word and this sacrament, and we do not have to live in some type of shaky existence which the next big rain, the next tragedy in our life, the next death in our family shakes or undermines. Let us give thanks to the Lord this day for the promise and the reality of his love and being called into his Son in Christ.